Good morning, and welcome to Overeats Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Susan. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Day is Thursday, September 12, 2024, and we are reading from the Big Book, page 46 in We Agnostics, the first paragraph starting with, yes, we have agnostic temperament, through to comprehend that power which is God. Today's readers are Margaret D., who will read the text, Farah L., A Vision for You, and Sherry Z. is our backup. Our newcomer greeter is Alex K., and Leslie M. will share announcements. The reference numbers for Wednesday, September 11th, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 21,737, and for Thursday, September 12th, 7 a.m. Eastern, is 21,739. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeats Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Terry G. to please unmute and join us and read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Terry.
Thank you, Susan, for your service. Good morning, everybody. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will over in our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons that we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to do service today. That I pass.
Thank you so much, Terry G. in Florida. Next up, we have Laura H., who's kind of going to read the 12 traditions of OA for us. And Laura, if you can tell us where you are located, that would be wonderful.
No problem. This is Laura H. from Seattle. Thank you for allowing me to read. I'm Laura. I'm a compulsive overeater, and this is the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion, on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other personal media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Laura H., and you're in Seattle. People can find you on the phone list. All right, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. All right. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in the chapter We Agnostics. We're on page 46, the first paragraph, which starts with, yes, we have agnostic temperament, through to comprehend that power which is God. I will now ask Margaret D. in Georgia to please unmute, join us, and start reading. Thank you so much, Margaret.
Oh, thank you. Hey, everybody. Good morning. My name is Margaret, and I am recovered. Thank you, God. Yes, we of agnostic temperament have had these thoughts and experiences. Let us make haste to reassure you. We found that as soon as we were able to lay aside prejudice and express even a willingness, we commenced to get results, even though it was impossible for any of us to find or comprehend that power which is God. What a mouthful. And that is, more than that, what a heartfelt paragraph. Imagine if you were Bill W. and you were writing that. I mean, he must have been amazed, and we know that he was not even halfway through at this point. So what does this paragraph mean to me? The first thing is being of a temperament, and the things that I thought I truly was, like the who of me, the what, the when, the where, the why, that was set in stone. And I never realized before, and actually it was only from the previous meeting at 8 o'clock that I had this intuitive thought that temperament is not set in stone. But I thought it was. I thought if I was angry that, or if I felt angry, that I was an angry person. If I had different experiences going on, I was not having an experience. I was that experience, and the disease ran with that. And as a result of that, of my brain always going, yeah, you're stupid, you're dumb, you're, and I don't even like to repeat this stuff now because it just feels horrible. But the disease was just so delighted, you know, to beat Margaret up all the time. And I thought that was the truth, that whatever I heard in my head, because I heard it in my head, well, my goodness, it must be the truth, isn't it? And I had a sponsor that pointed out several things to me that really helped me tons and tons. I guess that was part of being restored to sanity, was that if you stop and think about the human mind, all it does is its job is to think. That's all it does. And so how many thoughts do you have in a minute, in an hour, in a day, in a week, in a month, in a year? Thought after thought after thought. And because I'm thinking it, well, then it's got to be the truth. And that's what my disease told me. And so the more I got into that state of mind, the harder it became to open up for any kind of change at all. And my sponsor said to me two things. The first one was, how free do you want to be? You are the only person, Margaret, that can determine how free you want to be. And so I thought about that. Oh, well, then I'm going to have to wrap it up. The other thing was, the other phrase was, despite what I think, feel, or believe. And when I started to incorporate that, despite what I think, feel, or believe, then I realized that it was just a temperament, and temperaments can be changed, especially with God's help. And so with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Margaret D. in Georgia. All right, so if you joined us partway through, we are commenting today, page 46, the first full paragraph, yes, we have agnostic temperament through to comprehend that power, which is God. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you want to share, please give me your first name, last initial, and the country or state you are calling from this morning. All right. Who would like
Bruce to share?
Kara L.
I hear Bruce, and then somebody L.
Kara L.
Kara, good morning. Thank you. I know where you're
and
from.
And Sherry Z.
Thank you, Sherry.
Barbara, New York.
Barbara, what's your last initial?
Stephen G. Okay, Toronto.
Stephen G. I've got you, Barbara. You'll tell us when you share. Who else?
Donna B.
Donna C. For cat?
No, B for boy in Denver.
Thank you. Thank you, Donna.
Jordan L.
Oh, hello, Jordan. Good morning. All right. Sorry, who was that?
Charlene G.
Okay, Charlene G. And where are you calling from, Charlene?
Utah.
Utah. All right, let's pause there. So this is who I have. Bruce E. from Florida, Kara L. from California, Sherry Z. from California, Barbara, who will share her last initial with us, from New York, Stephen G. from Toronto, Donna B. from Denver, Jordan L. from Colorado, I think it's Gunnison, Colorado, Charlene G. from Utah. So if everybody other than Bruce E. could mute their line, good morning to you, Bruce.
Good morning. This is Bruce E. I'm in Southwest Florida, and I'm very grateful to be on the line today. Very grateful for this meeting. Very grateful that I'm alive and I'm recovered from this disease temporarily here anyway. Hope for the rest of my life. Anyway, had these thoughts and experiences, let us make haste to reassure your found as soon as we're able to lay aside prejudice. Well, I heard the previous speaker say something about how free do you want to be. Well, I want to be free. I want to be really, really, really free. You know, I want to be totally free. But then, do I want to lay aside prejudice to get there? Do I want to lay aside all my selfishness and my self-centeredness and all of this stuff, all this? And you know, I don't know if I do. Do I want to have the willingness? Do I want to take the... I got the willingness to be self-centered. You know, that's my problem. So I got to lay aside self-centeredness and prejudice, and then I can maybe get some freedom. And, man, I've been tied up with this prejudice all my life. You know, if somebody's different than me, then I'm prejudiced about them, you know. And, you know, I gotta be willing to just give that up and believe in a power greater than myself. Even though it was impossible for any of us to fully define or comprehend that power. Yeah, I've tried to figure out God here for maybe 40 years or so, maybe. And I haven't figured him out yet. And, I need to give up that one, you know, because I don't think I'll ever figure out God. Because as soon as I think I got Dad figured out, he does something different, you know. And then I'm, you know, all mixed up again. So I need to get out of that debating society and debating with God and everything like that and telling him what to do. And let go and let God and ask for his will for whatever, you know, he's got in mind for me. Thy will be done, not mine, you know. And let go of that prejudice. You know, that prejudice is just nothing but judging people. You know, that's judging others. Got to let go of the judging, too. I got a whole bunch of things got to let go of. And I'm surrendering them. I'm humbly asking God to remove them. And I think he does that until I go back and fall back into that pit of prejudice and unwillingness again and self-centeredness, self-seekingness, self, you know, all that kind of self stuff. You know, I think it's a program. Maybe it's a, yeah, now that I'm recovered, maybe it's a program of getting rid of selfishness.
Time, Bruce.
Thank you. And I pass.
Thank you, Bruce E. in Southwest Florida. Next, we have Cara L. in Long Beach, California. Go ahead, Cara.
Thank you, Susan. This is Cara L. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Yes, we have agnostic temperament. And how do I define agnostic temperament for myself today? Well, agnostic temperament for me means I think I can do it and I need to solve it. That's what it means for me. So when I get into a situation and usually it's super stressful and going horribly wrong, it's because I'm having agnostic temperament. I think that I need to solve it, right? I'm not reaching out to something that's greater than me to say, help, I need help with the situation. So as soon as I'm able to lay aside prejudice and express even a willingness to believe in a power greater than ourselves, right, I get results. Well, for me, all I have to do is say, oh, wait a minute. I'm trying to handle this. When there's a power greater than me, I can ask for help. I can say, please give me intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision. I can say, I don't know how. I don't know what I'm doing. Please help. I can simply say, help. But the moment I back away from it, that I have to have the solution and say, I don't know, I need help, is when I open the door, is when I invite my higher power in to do wondrous things in my life. And I'll tell you, today I get pretty far down the road sometimes before I remember. And I have to stop and say, wait a minute. Oh, and what helps me? Well, working our steps helps me. You know, a great inventory will show me where I'm trying to do it myself and not trusting and believing in a power greater than myself. You know, hearing other people going through things and hearing reminders from other people in meetings. Oh, that's right. Oh, daily. I forget very easily. So the steps, the tools, those are my reminders that I don't have the solutions. I just have to ask. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Cara L. in Long Beach, California. Next, we're staying in California, and we have Sherry Z. joining us. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you all for doing those who are doing service this morning. I'm Sherry Z., recovered in Southern California. And I'm going to take us to a new turn on this paragraph, which is that the minute we were able to lay aside, express willingness, we commence to get results. What this tells me is that we don't have to understand fully why, how, what in order to recover. We just need to have like a dip of a toe in the pool. Like, we don't have to be all in. And I think most of my life, I understand everything, how the whole thing works, and then I can sign on. It's like, once I know how's it going to work, what are the results, how's it going to be, like, then I can sign on. And what this paragraph is telling me is like, yeah, that you don't need all that. You just need to set aside what you think you know. Like, just set that aside for the moment. Express even a willingness to believe in a power. Like, not which power, not saying you have to believe. And then, like, the result is you commence to get results. And that was my experience. My experience was, I didn't understand how the whole thing works. And it's kind of counterintuitive to who I am as a person. I want to know everything before I even sign on, which I like that about me. It's intellectually curious. It's very thorough. It's a part of me that's really involved, except that in this area, it doesn't work for me. What works for me is just to take the action, set aside what I think I know about people, places, and things, say, God, you can do for me what I can't do for myself. I'm just willing to do that. And I saw results, and I see them every day. So thank you so much for letting me share. I look forward to hearing from all of you.
Thank you, Sherry Zed in Southern California. Next, we have Barbara from New York. And if Barbara, if you could share your last initial with us. Thank you. Star one to unmute, Barbara.
Hi, I'm Barbara S., like in Sam, from New York.
Thank you.
I've been, and I'll put it more in the past, an agnostic, but this temperament has been changing. I've always said that I need proof. I need proof that there is a God, and more proof is coming each day. This morning, God brought me on to this meeting. I'm usually not home. I had cataract surgery this week, and I'm home today and tomorrow, so I expect to be on both days, or at least I'm on today, and I'm very, very grateful. And a lot of things have happened in my life that are the proof, and even when I see proof of other things, I sometimes don't believe. When I decide to believe, I will believe, and that's what's happening now. My higher power is my higher self. Very often through my life, I've gone to my lower self, and that didn't help. And I would spend time worrying, and worrying does not get rid of the issue. Worrying just, it wastes time. I've wasted too many years, too many months. Luckily, there have been good times, but I'm very grateful to be in this meeting. A lot of positive things have happened when I'm believing in God. I was in an exercise last week, two times, senior exercise. I'm not flying all over the room, but I said to myself, and I said to God, God, help me finish the whole session. And I finished. Why did I finish? I could say two things. I could say, God helped me, or I could say, I believed God helped me. And that is the key word. I believed. I don't need the proof. I just have to believe. And on that note, I'll say I'm grateful to be here, and thank you. Have a blessed day.
Thank you so much, Barbara S. in New York. Next, we are going to go to Stephen G. in Toronto. Good morning, Stephen. Thank you.
Hi, good morning. This is Stephen G. I'm a recovered compulsive reader in Toronto, Canada. In the doctor's opinion, we learned about the true nature of the disease. And in Bill's story and in more about alcoholism, we see it's permanence, we see its progression, and we see its ultimate, that it's ultimately fatal. And I needed to come to that conclusion in my own life and reach a sense of hopelessness. And when I got to that sense of hopelessness, then I became very open-minded to the idea of a higher power because I had no other solution. And my temperament is definitely agnostic. I don't necessarily believe or didn't necessarily trust in this idea of a higher power. But when I got to a point of hopelessness and I looked around me and saw other people recovering based on this idea of a higher power, it made me reconsider things. And I didn't have to believe in God at this point or any higher power, whatever I choose to call it. I just had to open my mind to the possibility that a thing like this might exist. And it only had to have two characteristics. The first one was it was more powerful than this disease. And the second one was it was aware of me and it wanted to help and it liked me. And then I could get rid of all these other ideas I had of God that had been placed into my mind growing up, sort of a judgmental God, an intolerant God, et cetera. I could get rid of all that stuff and then just proceed forward and take the actions. I couldn't get contact with this higher power through thinking. I had to get contact through actions and keep moving forward, keep moving forward, keep moving forward. And I still fall back into agnostic temperament. I want to run the show with my limited understanding of life, my limited intellect, my limited willpower. And then eventually it doesn't work. And I go back to taking the actions in this program. Thank God. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was Stephen G. in Toronto. Next, we have Donna B. calling in from Denver, Colorado. Good morning, Donna. I want to unmute Donna. Okay, perhaps there's an issue. Donna, I'm going to go to Jordan L. and then I will call your name again. Jordan, are you available to unmute and join us? We're having an earthquake right now. Oh my God. Okay. Oh my gosh. Okay. Now it's stopped. Is anyone still on the line with me? We're here. Hello.
Donna.
All right. Everyone star one and mute. The earthquake is over.
Earthquake is over, thank God.
Okay. All right. So we're gonna go to Donna B, and if everyone can please mute their line. Thank you, Donna.
Hi. This is Donna B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic. Wow, an earthquake preceding my share. What I wanted to share was that one of the greatest preconceived notions I have about a higher power is that this higher power could not possibly be any better than I am at planning the future, predicting the future, coordinating and manipulating things to go my way, that this power just couldn't possibly do a better job than me. And part of the willingness that I practice on a daily basis is that this higher power actually is smarter than me, more capable than me, has better plans than I do. And I have recently really been practicing from the concept of God as my employer. And that when I stay close to God and I do God's work, which really is not terribly demanding, these amazing, miraculous things happen in my life. And commencing to get results doesn't mean that my plans work out the way that I would like them to. I think what I understand in the concept of commencing, just starting to get results, for me is a comfort that I don't have to plan. I don't have to carry all of this burden in my head that I need to prepare for the future. I need to plan for the future. I need to predict the future. I need to be vigilant about everything. And that I really don't know. Even when things don't go, quote unquote, my way, I am open to the possibility that this higher power has some infinite, amazing knowledge that I don't have. And what I judge and perceive as bad or negative may actually be exactly as it should be. And that includes the scariest things like death and substance abuse and war and terrorism. And in God's world, there are infinite possibilities for things to make sense in a way that are not possible with my limited human mind and experience. And with that, I pass. And I hope that all who experienced the earthquake are okay.
They're still shaking. Oh, my God. Okie dokie. Jordanelle, good morning to you. Please join us.
Hey, good morning, Susan. Thanks for moderating for us this morning. And thank you. Thanks to everyone being on the meeting and sharing this morning. God, even years into this, it still means a lot that I feel such camaraderie on this meeting. Even I can't even be here on a regular basis anymore, but even stepping into it when I can, I feel that amongst my fellows and friends on this line. So I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful to be abstinent. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Newcastle, Colorado. We moved this year, and that's actually, I kind of want to talk about that. So that really sticks out to me as we commence to get results. And I'm a very results-oriented person. I'm all about execution. I'm very practical as far as like the way that I go about my life and my day. And that's what I love about this program. Is that it's really about taking the action and then having the experience. It's not about talking about it it really is about living it. And I guess what I want to say is this year, it was kind of a rough year. There were a lot of things that happened. We moved to a new place for a job that didn't work out for me. And there were definitely some low points where I'm going, what the hell, God? What was the point of all this? And that's just me being honest, right, with where I was at and how that was. And what I can say is that I don't always understand the purpose or the bigger picture or how things are going to work out or any of that. But today, after years of practicing this program and this way of life, I can continue to walk. I can walk through that stuff with some grace. And I can walk through it abstinent. I don't turn to ice cream or any of my alcoholic foods anymore. I can be neutral around those things. And I can get to the other side of it and have all of the relationships in my life still intact. They're not perfect by any means, but I can get through that stuff today and get to the other side of it and actually know God a little bit better. And not so much in a way of like I'm such a holy person now, but much more in a way of like I'm a whole person. You know, and I can show up and be present. So thank you for letting me share. Those are the results.
Thank you, Jordan. Thank you. Next, we are going to Charlene G. in Utah.
Good morning,
Charlene.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Oh, good. I did it right this time. Good morning, everybody. My name is Charlene G. from Utah. Thank you so much
for your service and for this wonderful meeting, and the shares have been so, they're always so beneficial to me. I just appreciate each of you. Believe in a power greater than myself. God knows my problem. He knows my problem is myself. And so here's some laid out instructions. And I came into the room thinking, I don't really need, think this applies to me, because I have a God, and I've had an understanding of who my God is since I was young. But what I'm learning is that this belief in God's power is here to help me here and now. And it's these words. I just, like someone said, I'm just so grateful for the writers and for the way that they've expressed this truth right here. So this 12-step program has really opened my eyes. I've never, like I said, felt I was without God, but yet, because of my disease, my isms, I've learned the importance of believing, and that takes awakeness, believing that therefore, I'm going to need to surrender. So today, I'm in a much more state of reliance than I've ever been, and it's truly because of this program. So what it looks like is that as I follow the program, my comprehension of God and His hand in my life is so much more real. That, you know, that feeling you get when you do your 10th step and then you get that, oh yeah, reminders and God's got me. Real practical application. And that's what this paragraph is saying to me today, is that God knows that I have a tendency to go to self, and He's helping me get results of feeling His love and His care, His protection. And the more I draw near to Him, He draws near to me. And it is through my fellow travelers that I am learning this, and that He wants me to be near Him. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Charlene G. in Utah. And I just have to add, probably the first time on a recording, people are going to hear, we're having an earthquake. Anyway, we made history, haha, not. Okay, if you have joined us partway with all this excitement, we are on page 46 in We Agnostics, the first paragraph. Yes, we have agnostic temperament through to comprehend that power which is God. If this is your day to share, your third day, we would love to hear from you. Please give me your first name, last initial, and the state or country where you are calling from. Thank you.
Liz E, UK.
Good morning, Liz. Hi. Okay. Got one buyer. Who else?
Helen from Boston.
Jan C.
Hang on 1 second. Jan C, I hear you from Arizona. Who was from Boston?
Helen.
Helen. Thank you, Helen.
Thank
you. Okay, let's stop there because that might be all we have time for. I'm going to stop there, and if there's time, I'll ask for one more. I've got Lizzie from the UK, Helen from Boston, who will give us her last initial, and Jan C. calling in from Arizona. Go ahead, Liz.
Good morning, good afternoon. My name is Liz Eve Elegant from the UK. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Susan, thank you for your service, and thank you to everybody else who's doing service to this amazing meeting. And just to encourage people to connect with each other, because it's so important. This program has just taught me so much. And, you know, I was only talking to a fellow the other day about some difficulties I'd got in doing a step 10. And I said, but the amazing thing is that I have all these tools, because all the time, this prejudice that I have, this judgment I have about people comes up, and I move into self-will, but I can get back into God's will with willingness. And that word will is really interesting. And I really struggled to understand, and I still struggle, but I feel I have a bit more experience, strength, and hope to be able to notice and name things, and notice and name my behavior, because this ultimately is all about what what are the things that I am doing to push people away? What are the toxic things I am doing? And but all of this is central to the belief and understanding that I believe I am not it, but there is God and a higher power who, for whom his will is a good will. His plan for me is a good plan. But the thing I don't like and I kind of don't appreciate is it's all in God's timing. I don't know what that is. But as every day goes by, I have to re-engage with that, because for me personally, every day is day one. And, you know, when I go off, I have to go right back to basics and connect with God and believe in a power greater than myself. And when I do that, my life goes better. I get those results. And I also, working with a sponsee the other day, I said, I can't tell you exactly how it works, but it works. I have a new design for living, and I am in the best place in my life. And I can't tell you exactly, but I just know. Anyway, thanks a million, and I'll pass. Bye.
Thank you so much, Liz E. in the UK. Next, we're going to Boston, over to Helen. And Helen, if you could share your last initial with us, we'd greatly appreciate it.
This is Helen O. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you so much, Helen O. from Boston. I'm aware there's a lot of noise right now, so but it's just so great to be on this meeting this morning. And just from the beginning of hearing the person who spoke first and on temperament, I mean, I've just never thought about this before. And, you know, I think I get kind of used to the paragraphs in the big book. And when I hear one word just talked about, I just find it beyond helpful. And the idea that I can change my temperament, you know, is that just because I am in a certain way in the day even doesn't mean that I can't switch it around with the help of like step 67. And the other thing is just something has come up for me lately internally, and it's old material, you know, that I've done inventory on, but I need to go deeper. And I'm just so grateful to have a sponsor to help me sort this out, you know, and not judge me, because I think the mistakes of my past, I still carry some of them, and that's what I'm becoming aware of lately. And I'm sure that this affects my temperament in a kind of a defensive way. I can be very defensive and run, you know, from people. And I don't enjoy that anymore. It just doesn't feel right. So good to be here today. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Helen O. in Boston. Next we have, you can mute your line again, Helen. Thank you, Star One. Thank you so much. Jan C. in Arizona, please unmute and join us.
Hi, this is Jan C. from Casa Grande, Arizona, and you know how hot it can be here. And this morning, I'm sitting outside having my nutritious, abstinent breakfast as I'm listening to this, and I thought, there is so much wisdom I'm getting from all of you this morning. I don't really have much to share, except that I know that when I really am judging somebody else, that's a time for me maybe to do a 10-step, but I have that fourth step, and I've been in program long enough, I'm recovered. I know I can go back and do a fourth step on that person or situation and get the clarity and then find out through that process what my part of it is, so I can accept who I am and make amends if I need to and go on and be free the way this program promises. If we keep doing the work, if we keep turning to our higher power. So that's really all I want to say. One more thing. I'm in a transition. My husband passed away in January. I'm now in the slow transition to move back to Colorado where my family is. And I know I don't have to do it overnight. And my goodness, God's in charge of all of this. And I'm now in the acceptance stage of that. And I know that God will work out the details. So if I keep working my program and relying on him. So thank you so much, everybody, for all you do for this meeting. And I'm so grateful to be here. I pass.
Thank you. Thank you, Jan C. in Colorado. Okay, we probably have about a minute and a half, as I always do. First voice I hear gets it.
Barbara A., California.
Go ahead, Barbara. Thank you.
Yes, Susan, thank you for your service. Oh, the shares today. I needed this so much. I feel like I'm moving away from the middle of the herd. I've heard that before. Just this temperament of dissatisfaction of things aren't, and I am turning to gratitude that, you know, I look at what other people have, and trying to compare all this, all that is part of my disease. And I know coming to this meeting, I hear exactly what I need to hear. Thank you so much, Susan, for your support, for your leading this meeting. Thank you for everyone who makes this meeting possible. And I pass.
Thank you so much. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, and for all your support through that lovely shake, rattle, and roll that those of us in Southern California experienced. Okay, Team Thursday for September. Thank you, Margaret D., Cara L., Sherry Z., Terry G., Laura H. Please stay on if you need a sponsor. Alex K. and Leslie M. will be hosting you. And if you are an available sponsor, please stay on. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Cara L. in Long Beach, California, would you please unmute and take us home? Thank you.
Sure. Good morning. This is Cara L., recovered compulsive reader. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to you, come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.